that the Bible begins and ends with God. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, we just read it, tells us, in the beginning, God. And as I said the other day, if we could get it settled right there, in the beginning, God, you won't question anything else in the Bible, anything else in the Word of God. But the Bible begins and ends with God. It begins with, in the beginning, verse number 1, God. And then all the way in the back of the book, the very last verse, Revelation 22:21, says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so, once again, it begins and ends with God. And then we've seen and looked at the fact that God created everything. And that's very clear. And we talked about how He created everything. Somebody quickly tell me tonight, how did God create everything? Quickly. Spoke it with His Word, right? And so He created everything with His Word. And why did He create everything? What's it for? For His pleasure. So God created everything by His Word. He did it for His pleasure. And everyone, this is key, everyone who has been born into this world has been given an understanding of God. There's no one to be able to stand before God and say, you didn't love me, you didn't reveal yourself to me, I couldn't have known you. But everyone in this world has been given, that's ever been birthed in this world, has been given a revelation of God. God has revealed Himself, first of all, through creation, we talked about. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? The firmament showeth His handiwork. You can't walk outside, look up into the sky and the stars and not know that somebody put that there, right? And they testify that there is a God. And so God reveals Himself through creation. God reveals Himself through His Word. Once again, over in Luke, He tells us that there on the road to Emmaus, it said He backed up and He opened up the Scriptures and spoke to those men from Emmaus the things concerning Himself out of the Scriptures. The Bible is a message of God, and so God reveals Himself to us by His Word. And then God reveals Himself to us by His Son. Once again, in Hebrews, the Bible tells us, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake to us in time past by the prophets. Right? That's how He spoke to us. Isaiah, Jeremiah, in time past. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So, what was the Lord Jesus? It was the manifestation of God. God reveals Himself to mankind through His Son. And then God revealed Himself to us by through our conscience. We know that the Bible tells us that those Gentiles that never had the law of God, yet they do by nature the things contained in the law of God, becomes a law unto themselves, and it is proof positive that they have the law written upon their heart. Reason you know it's wrong to steal before somebody told you. Reason you know it's wrong to kill. Reason the person on the bush that's never heard the name Jesus Christ, never seen a Bible, never been to a church, they know it's wrong to murder. How? Because the law of God's written upon their heart. Their conscience tells them it's wrong. And so God's revealed Himself to us in all those ways and even more. Something else we didn't get to last week that I wanted to just mention, and we won't spend a lot of time because I want to go somewhere else, but regarding this idea in the beginning, is God began time. Verse number 14 here says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Okay? Let them be for times and seasons and the light. So one day goes down, that's another day. And then 365 of those is a year, right? So time. God's the one who created time. He's the one that began time. God don't need time. He operates outside of the bounds of time. Before we were here, there was no time because God's just, listen, He just simply exists. He has no beginning. He'll have no end. He's always been here. He created time for me. He created time for you who have a beginning and who will have an end. And so tonight I want to move forward, though, and I want to look at verse number 2. We're moving quick now to verse number 2. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now, if you were some Bible scholars today, using that word loosely, by the way, Bible scholars, you would think that we just jumped ahead thousands and thousands or maybe even millions of years when we came from verse number 1 to verse number 2. You would think that we fast-forwarded millions of years between those two verses, between verse 1 and 2, and you would call this period of time the gap. the gap theory. Once again, there's a reason it's called a theory. It's not true. It has no basis, as we'll see. But they'll call it the gap theory. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want you to understand, and it's the same way with our Bibles. You'll see the same with everything. But for 2,000 years, almost all Christians believed and taught that the earth was created approximately 4,000 B.C. Like it's revealed by God's word that it was. B.C., just to make sure everybody understands, is we know before Christ, right? That's what that means. And then there's A.D., all right? And it stands for Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So what you had, there's really no zero year. What you had is you had B.C. 1, and then it goes to A.D. 1. And A.D. 1 basically is when the Lord Jesus, the year of our Lord, the one his birth, when he came into the world, all right? And so that's what we're talking about. And so we know if we're in year 2023, then that's 2,023 years ago, right? And so that would make the earth around 6,000 years old if it was created in 4,000 B.C., like we believe it is that the Bible teaches. In the early 1800s, some unbelievers began to teach that the earth was millions and millions of years old. And this laid the groundwork for evolution. Some prominent theologians wanted, what they want to do is harmonize creation with their scientific findings. Okay, they wanted it all to gel and all to go all together. In other words, what they wanted to do is they wanted to make the Bible fit into science. Let me say tonight, it's always an error to start from a standpoint of anything else but the Word of God. Remember, we talked about that the first week. Always begin with God. So we don't begin with science and make the Bible fit into science. We begin with the Bible, and science has to line up with the Word of God, right? And so that's what we're talking about. And so, but they wanted to make the Bible fit into science. So they got to have more time. They got to have more period of longer time that the earth is here, because that's what their science is so-called is telling them, all right? So they placed a gap here between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Now, I'm sure your Bible read just like my Bible read. There's nothing there. But they've placed this imagination of a gap there. And that helped them answer all the questions that they couldn't figure out, especially when dealing with the age of the earth and the age of things in the earth and the age of the earth itself. The big idea is simply this, the gap theory. God created the earth in Genesis 1:1. Then there's this huge gap for many, many, many years, and there's never a amount. You know, sometimes it's thousands, sometimes it's millions. You talk to one person, you get, it literally can be eons of time and difference, right? There's no, it's just there's a lot of time, right? And that way they can always make it fit. But, you know, Genesis 1, God created the earth, and then there's this huge amount of time, however long it is, before verse number 2. It's this big gap. And it was a time where the earth was without form and void. Now watch this. And what they'll tell you is that verse number 2 here should have been written this way. Not that the earth was without form and void, but that the earth became without form and void. In other words, as if there was something here before. There was a creation here before. And so the earth became form and void. Most gap theorists believe that the first earth was inhabited by angelic beings, such as Lucifer, before he, you know, the devil was an angel, we know that, he's a fallen angel, but before he was fallen, his name's just Lucifer, and him and many other angels inhabited the earth, that's what they believe, and inhabited the earth, which, of course, ended up being destroyed, but they inhabited the earth for some time, and this included all the prehistoric beasts, like dinosaurs and cavemen and all those kinds of things, and the Ice Age, and all that time, all that was in this gap theory, so they believe. Now, those things did exist, but they existed on this earth within the past 6,000 years. These theorists believe that Satan, Lucifer at the time, and his angels all lived in the earth millions of years before, but it all ended and God destroyed this earth when sin, iniquity, was found in Lucifer. And then when God destroyed the earth, that marked the beginning of the six-day creation. And that brings us to verse number 2. And they believe that after all that happened, okay? And then verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void. So when God destroyed it, now it's without form and void again. Okay, and that's how it all began. Now, there's no proof to that, mind you. You won't find it. But that's what they believe. Why did they need a gap? They needed a gap because they wanted to straddle the fence. On one hand, they wanted to stick to their conviction on creation. But they had to find a way to account for the earth being much older, as their science suggested. By the way, every bit of it was due to a flawed dating system. And if I had time tonight, we will come back and cover this. We would cover it. But you know, false dating system, carbon dating. It's not even remotely close. All right? This carbon dating system, radiometric dating system. Gap theorists believe that after God destroyed the earth the first time, in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, he began to recreate it with this six-day creation. All right? And so, in other words, I want you to understand what the average gap theorist belief is, that there was this whole earth, other earth, there's this whole other existence before the earth that we know now and the existence we know now, whole other earth and existence of men and at least angelic beings who lived on earth that formerly existed, but God destroyed it when iniquity was found in Satan, and then God begin to recreate. That's an important word. He began to recreate this earth that we now live in. Well, obviously, you've probably done figured out there are many problems with this view, the first being that we don't have any Bible for it. Now, what we do have is we have Scripture confirming, in fact, that this earth that we now live in is the first earth. We're going to use our Bibles a lot tonight. I need you to go with me, okay? I need you to pay attention, and I want you to read for me and help. But Revelation 21, verse 1, go there, please. Revelation 21, 1. We'll keep coming back and forth, different places, but Revelation 21, 1. Sometimes we'll have multiple verses, and I'll have different people look at it and read those verses. All right, Revelation 21 and verse number 1. Who's got it? Go ahead, Chris. Okay, so notice what he says. The first heaven and the first earth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And also, I want you to understand, let's give you the setting real quick. The setting is the great white throne judgment, all right? It's taking place in chapter 20. And then verse 21, the new Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven. In chapter 21, the new Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven. And he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven... And the first earth, that's this earth now, right? There wasn't one before. This is the first one, not the second heaven or the second earth. This is the one. So like most theories, there's a whole... So the Bible clearly tells us this is the first earth, all right? Like most theories, please understand this and hear me tonight. Because I want you to be able to guard from this mess, okay? Like most theories, there's always a lot of smoke screen. There's always a lot of imagination and exciting plots. What pulls people into stuff like this, I was talking to somebody about this earlier, is that it's exciting, it's something new. And the further outlandish you how do people believe that we're all going to gather, have our own universe, and my family's going to have its own universe, your family's going to, how do you teach people that? Because it's exciting. And the further out, that's what the Mormons believe. You'd think, well, I'd never believe that. Yeah, you will. Because they think, well, I've heard all of everything before. Well, you hadn't. If you'd ever just find out what the Bible really says and dig deep into that, you'll be amazed. It's way more exciting than anything you can drum up in your mind. But that's how people are sold this stuff. These exciting plots. There's this gap here. And there's no real proof. It's all smokescreen. There's nothing to back it up. And so they have no Bible, but that doesn't stop them from trying to twist a few things in the Bible to make their case and make their argument. Well, the main verses they try to use is back in Genesis chapter 1. It's found in verse number 28. Verse number 28. They want to twist it to prove their gap theory. And the Bible says there, in verse 28, and God blessed them, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Here's the word I want to give you. I want you to circle it, underline it, replenish. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Now, there's great evidence about this word replenish. Their great evidence is about this word replenish. That's what they got, this word replenish. That means that there was something here before. It's a Hebrew word, male. That's how it's pronounced, M-A-L-E, and it's pronounced male, actually, male. M-A-W-L-A-Y would how it would be pronounced, all right? It means to feel, watch this, this is what it means, this word replenish. It means to feel totally or completely. Don't you stay with me? Stay with me. You studied at the wall. Totally or completely to feel, all right? And what they try to say is this. See, right there it is. God's command, Adam and Eve, he commanded them to refill the earth, refill and repopulate the earth, this earth that's now went to nothing, as if it's been filled or populated before. The problem with that is that's not what the word replenish means, and especially back in that time. In 1611, it's when we got the King James Bible. It's when that translation first came out in 1611. And there were no dictionaries in English in that time. The closest thing to a dictionary they had was Robert Caldry's alphabetic table. And Robert Caldry's alphabetic table, if you look it up, it says this very thing, what I'm telling you about the word replenish, to fill. Not refill, not repopulate, just simply to fill. The Oxford English Dictionary reveals to us the main use of the word replenish in 1611 was to make full, to fill, or to stock with, like you'd fill up a pond, to stock with. Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's the one I read, it's the one I use, Webster's 1828, it says to fill. Now, it's going to get interesting. 1828, Webster's dictionary says to fill. Noah Webster's dictionary, 1891, you know what it says? To fill. Now, watch this. In 1892, same dictionary, 1 year later, 1891 to fill. 1892, they changed it to fill again. Fill again. Guess what became popular, especially in the later 1800s? The gap theory. By the way, please notice this. This has always been one of Satan's greatest tactics to corrupting truth, always. Corrupt the literature. Whether it's the Bible, trying to get a new Bible, corrupt the literature, take this stuff out, add stuff in. Whether it be a textbook, they do that in schools. Whether it be a dictionary, this has always been one of Satan's schemes to corrupt the truth. This is why I constantly warn you, stay away from these heretics on the internet who have some new different revelation from God, from what the saints have believed for hundreds and hundreds of years. All right, but we've got this new revelation from God because we've changed the word of what it means. You're going to be a confused individual if you don't. A perfect example of this is what they've tried to do with Christmas and Easter. Christians didn't latch on to some pagan holiday in Christmas or with Easter. I think it's pretty simple to figure out that we read it in Luke 2 and many other places in the Bible. Christmas started with Jesus. All right? Resurrection, that started with Christ. But what they've done is these pagans have latched onto it and tried to act like, oh, we had it before. You don't know your history, sir. And what they've done is, like I said, they've changed it up. And if it's online, it has to be true, right? It's got to be true. It's not the same. Listen, this is what Satan does through all the false religions, just like Islam. Think about it, Islam. All Islam is, when you read it, I don't know if you've ever read a Quran, but I have read a Quran. And all Islam is a bunch of conglomeration of stuff that's in the Bible mixed up and messed up. And you want to see some mixed up genealogy, read a Quran. Everybody's the same people included, but it's whacked out. Now let me ask you something. Who came first? It's the same thing over and over again, and it works so well that Satan keeps doing it. We got to open our eyes and see this is one of Satan's tactics. So in 1892, when the new Noah Webster's Dictionary came out, all of a sudden it's got this new definition for the word replenished from 1 year before. What changed? Gap theory. Now, there are many reasons I don't believe the gap theory. I could spend all night. We can't give you all of them, but I want to start giving you some of them. And I'm going to say, first of all, I don't believe the gap theory for one simple reason. Number one, and you need to get this one. It's going to sound simple, but you need to get it. Because it complicates the Word of God. It complicates the Word of God. God's Word has been written so all people for all times can understand it. It complicates the Word of God. In Psalm 119, I'm just going to read it to you. You can mark the verse. We got a lot of verses to cover. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. What's this? His word. We're talking about the word of God. It giveth understanding unto the simple. In other words, simple-minded people like me can understand it, can read it and figure it out. It complicates the word of God. I mean, can you imagine if the gap theory is true, the average person would no way they'd be able to understand it because, first of all, there's nothing there between 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. It complicates the Word of God. You'd have to have some priest telling you or some great theologian, right, telling you something they've drummed up in their mind. Once again, please hear me, this is an earmark of almost every single cult and heretic that's out there today. They get a new revelation from God, but supposedly based on their religion and their false doctrine, you know, on all of it. They base their doctrine and their religion, false religion, on this one truth that they've got, right? This one truth that they've come out. And they don't compare Scripture with Scripture the right way. They're not honest with God and the Word of God. It's not God's intention to be tricky with the Word of God. Read stuff and let it say what it says. You don't need to run all the Bible to figure out what it's saying. The context will let you know what he's talking about. He's not trying to be tricky. God's not trying to fool somebody. We don't need a degree, you know, with 10,000 letters behind our name to figure out the Word of God. It's an easy to understand book. He wants us to understand it. That's why I left it and made it available for everyone. When you read the Bible with any preconceived notions, without any preconceived notions, the only thing you can take from it is a literal six-day creation. If you just read it and let it say what it says, in the beginning, back in those verses, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was then, when he created it, without form and void. And darkness fell upon the face of the deep. Sounds fine to me. Reads right just perfectly. Read it and let it say what it wants to say. It's amazing how many confused people have said to me about certain doctrines that they've gotten over in the weeds in. Yeah, I believe just like you did until so-and-so taught me different. I believe just like you did until I watched some video. I believe just like you did until I went to that Bible college. I believe just like you did until whatever it is. In other words, when God's revelation showed you, you believed what the Bible said. But somebody had to teach you something completely different. We don't need man's philosophy to understand the Word of God. We don't. There's no way you can simply read this book honestly, let it say what it says, and come up with anything but God created the heavens and earth in 6 days. So the first reason I don't believe the gap theory is it complicates the Word of God. Another reason I reject the gap theory is it attacks the purpose of the cross. It attacks the purpose of the cross. Think about it. The cross is the focal point of all humanity, of everything that there is. It's the focal point. It's the foundation of Christianity. The story of the cross is God created a perfect earth. You know it. God created a perfect man, and he put man in that earth, and man sinned, which brought death upon mankind. Therefore, Christ had to die so that we could live. Now, watch this. If death, as they say, existed before Adam ever sinned, how could death be the result of sin? The Bible says that death is right because mankind fell into sin. That Adam and day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. So then wait a minute. If death, if there's this whole world, whole humankind before all this, then something's wrong here because it's not sin that was the result of death. Death, you know, that caused death. Go to Romans chapter 5 with me quickly, if you will. If death existed before Adam had ever sinned, how could death be the result of sin? Romans chapter 5, and I'm looking for verse 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 5. Who's got it? Go ahead, Sean. Let's just stop there for just a moment. Who's the one man? It says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that? That's not hard. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered, and death by sin because of that sin. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, watch this. Death reigned. Here's where death began. From Adam to Moses. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, it was a figure of him that was to come. It's pretty simple. That's when sin entered. That's when death entered. Think about the fossils for a moment. They claim these fossils that they've discovered is how they know the earth is so old. It's from these fossils. Now think about it. When you find a fossil, when you find bones, when you find a skeleton, know what it means? Let me help you tonight. Something died. So these fossils, they say some of them are millions and millions of years old. But the Bible says that death was the result of Adam's sin. How could there be fossils millions and millions of years ago? Oh, when Adam lived 6,000 years ago. You see? Doesn't add up. Tells us that death was the result of Adam and his sin, and the death reigned from Adam to Moses, or his death began with Adam. Why? Because of his sin. Right? Listen, right here with Adam, you see the beginning of sin. You see the beginning of death. Go back with me to Genesis 2. Verse 16 and 17. Who's got it? Go ahead. Go ahead. Yep. Uh-huh. That's when God prophesied death would come. When the day you eat of it, you're going to begin to die. In chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. He's sinned now. His eyes are open to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Understand tonight, Adam would have never, ever, ever died had he not sinned. God put him in a perfect environment. But now God makes sure that he can't live forever here on earth. He cast him out. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So here in Romans 5, verse 12, sin entered by Adam. Romans 5, 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Watch this. It reigned from Adam to Moses, not before Adam, but from Adam to Moses, right? There's no death before Adam. So there's all this civilization that supposedly was here, and then they died, and then God created a new earth. Not possible. 1 Corinthians, go there, chapter 15, verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. People are very slick. The devil's very slick and sly with the Bible. They'll show you a few little nuggets, a few little things, and you'll jump right in hook, line, and sinker when you don't know the truth. Who's got it? 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Go ahead, Tyler. Stop. The first man, Adam. Who is he? The first man. Is that hard to understand? Now watch this. Please watch. I want you to understand. Watch this. Watch what these people do. The first man, Adam. My granddaughter is 3, 4. She can understand that. You don't have to run all the plays. The first man, Adam. He's the first man. Right? It's sitting hard. But they'll, you know. A lot of people are educated way beyond their intelligence. You understand that? They complicate it. Very clearly, Paul tells Adam here. Or excuse me, Paul tells us that Adam was the first man. So supposedly there's millions of years between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis. That God tells us nothing about, by the way. He tells us anything about them. There's these millions of years, but instead he puts lies in Scripture about who the first man was and about why people die today. Because it can't be because of sin. Death was already here. God just lying to us about all this. It's very obvious that Adam was the first man, as well as he was the first one of any human race. So the Gap Theory holds no merit when it comes to Scripture. We've already mentioned replenish the earth. That's not what it means. Okay, it doesn't mean refill. it means to feel. The gap theory holds no merit when it comes to another human race. We've just seen that. He's the first man, one race. The gap theory complicates the Word of God. God's not the author of confusion. Matter of fact, in 2 Peter, you might want to note this verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Listen to me. No prophecy of Scripture is of any... Anytime you get somebody and they got a word from God and God's... And nobody else is right, but I'm right. Everybody else is right. You better be very careful about that person. There's no private... It says, 2 Peter 1:20. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Notice he says prophecy. That includes former prophecy. That includes future prophecy. There's no private interpretation. What we're reading now is what happened before in creation, the creation account. And God makes it clear as to how creation happened. He makes it clear that he created the earth in six literal days. That's easy. And as we've already said, the gap theory compromises the purpose of the cross. Now, if you're a Bible believer, that's enough information alone to refute the gap theory. But I want to go ahead and look at this from another angle. I want you to notice what I believe really is the greatest evidence against the gap theory. The entire gap theory is based on two main assumptions. The two main assumptions are these, that Satan was created before the six, Satan was created before the six-day creation, okay? So he was created before this literal creation that we know of. Satan was created before that. That's one of the assumptions the gap theory is based on. And also, the other assumption is that Satan had his fall, he fell, before the sixth literal day creation. All right? That's the two assumptions it's based on, because they say that's what ushers in this new creation. All right? They believe that it was after the fall of Satan that God sent this, what they call, what's this, Lucifer's flood. By the way, you know what one of the things that the devil does, don't you? He's a counterfeit. And everything Christ has or does, he wants to counterfeit it. So now there's Lucifer's flood, where he was destroyed and his angels were destroyed before this earth was created. Okay? So he was created before this earth and he died, he was destroyed, he fell at least, all right, before this earth. So, let's ask the question, was Satan and the angels on the earth before the 6 days of creation? Gap theorists say that these angels inhabited the earth before God destroyed it, made it formless and void. In other words, between verses 1 and 2, once again, let's go back there quickly, Genesis, and we're going to go to Ezekiel. Somebody go to Ezekiel 28. But back in Genesis, let's look at it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Millions and millions and millions of years go by. Not. And the earth was without form and void. All this is back now. Satan's just been cast out. He's just fallen. And now the earth begins without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So there's this whole world that existed before God destroyed that God tells us nothing about, which left the earth formless and void. Then this 6 day creation, God carries on from there. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and 14. Who's got it? Verse 13 and verse 14, Ezekiel 28. Who's there? Miss Nine, go ahead. Yep. I want you to back up verse 13 at the end of the verse. It says, the tablets of the pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. He was created. So we see Satan's not co-eternal with God. He was created by God. Okay? I want to establish that. He was a creation of God. He was created by God. Verse 15 tells us again that he was created. Now it says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Okay? So if Satan was created, then it begs the question, when was he created? Glad you asked. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're looking for verse 11. This is the great chapter where we get the Ten Commandments. We know that. Who's got verse 11? Go ahead, Chris.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed.
So 6 days the Lord made heaven, earth, sea. Don't read past this. And all, circle that word 10 times. And all, he made the heaven and the earth, and all that in them is. Right? Everything that's in this world was created during this 6 day period. All right? Exodus 31, 17. Turn on over to there. It says the same thing. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and all, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now Genesis 2, 1. Who's at Genesis? Genesis 2:1. This one should put the nail in the coffin for you. Well, this is actually we're going to a different thing, but same concept. Who's got it? Sean, go ahead. Genesis 2:1. You get it? Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Watch this, and all the host. All the host of them. This is at the end of the 6 day creation. It's Genesis 2. All the host of them. Somebody tell me what they believe host means. Angelic beings. Celestial beings. Look it up in any dictionary you want to look it up. By the way, over in Luke 2:13, you know the story very well, the Christmas story. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of what? Heavenly what? Heavenly what? Host. We all know what that is. It's angels. Talking about the angels. After 6 days, everything was finished. Genesis 2:1. Everything was finished. And all the host of them. Alright? We know that had to be created during this 6 day period. We're told in Genesis 2:1. Everything including the host of. Satan couldn't have possibly been here before to have fallen and for a world to be destroyed and all that. So then when did he fall? Let's talk about it. Look, Ezekiel 28 verse 13. Ezekiel. You got Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel 28, and I want to read a few verses here. Ezekiel 28, let's look at it, verse 13. We're going to read verse 13, maybe down through 17. Thou hast been in Eden. Now notice that first of all. That's very important. We'll see it in a minute. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamonds. We just read all that. Go down to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, pride. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now this passage of Scripture gives us a picture of Lucifer before his fall. Here we can clearly see Satan in an unfallen state, in the garden, once again, verse 13, thou hast been in, watch it, it's important, Eden. Okay? Thou hast been in Eden. So we see Satan, he's in an unfallen state, he's in the garden, but wait a minute. The garden wasn't created until the 6 day creation. He's in the garden. We see him right here. Genesis 2:4, these are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens. Jump down to verse 8, Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Satan's fall had to be after the Garden of Eden was created, because he's in his unfallen condition in the garden in Ezekiel 28. Thou hast been in the garden. So he couldn't have fallen until after the Garden of Eden was created. Couldn't have been this whole thing before, and then he was destroyed, and then all this happened, right? Not only did his fall have to be after the Garden of Eden was created, it had to be after the stars were created. In Isaiah 14, 13, listen to what he says, For thou hast said in thine heart, God's accusing him, I will ascend into heaven. Here's what Satan said. Then here's what he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. His fall had to be after the stars were created, because they weren't created until day four of creation. And he says he's going to exalt his throne above the stars of God. He's saying what he's going to do. Genesis 1:16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the, watch this, he made the stars also. He says, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars. They weren't even here. They weren't even created until creation, the six-day creation. So there's no way that he could have fallen before and all this could have taken place before. Once again, in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. In 6 days. And Satan or Lucifer was created during this time. He was created during the six-day creation because he's part of the all that in them is. He's part of everything that was created during that 6 days. This idea that there was this whole world was created of creation before that was filled with Satan and angels and all and other humans and cavemen and all this other stuff, and they sinned and God destroyed it, it's not valid. And not only is it not valid, it's not possible. Satan wasn't even created until the six-day creation. The earth was void. The timing of Satan's fall is extremely important to the integrity of the gap theory, because gap theorists say that Satan's fall marks the end of the gap and it marks the beginning of this new creation that God did, this six-day creation. I want you to notice quickly what all is riding on the gap theory not being true. You say, well, preacher, you know, I get it. I believe and I'm with you, but, you know, why does it matter? We have that problem a lot of times. Doctrine matters. You better believe it matters. Right doctrine matters. It's got to be right. We're going to get it right. We're going to keep it right. Why does it matter? I'll tell you why. The authority and the authenticity of Scripture is one reason. If the gap theory is true, then the Bible's not true. What I've just showed you, they both can't be true. God says one thing, the gap theory says another thing. So then if the gap theory is true, then the Bible is not true, because God clearly said that Adam was the first man that was created. The Bible clearly said Adam was the first man that began to die. Not only that, it undermines the doctrine of what we believe about death. It denies that death was the result of man's sin, right? For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. It changes that whole doctrine. Never forget this. Oh, I wish I could put this in some of y'all's hearts. What you believe about something, and when you change one iota what you believe about one doctrine, you've got to change what you believe about almost everything else. If you change what you believe in one area, you're going to say, oh, I didn't think it. Down the road, you're thinking about another thing. But if I believe this, then I got to believe that. It's so important to get it right and keep it right. The doctrine of death, it's a snowball effect. It's not true, because there's people that died before Adam, so that's not how death began. Sin and death was already here, if that's true. None of that. It undermines the foundation of the gospel. The foundation of the gospel rests upon the fact that man's rebellion and his rebellious acts led to mankind's condemnation. But if the gap theory is true, then sin was here on earth before man ever got here. God had already destroyed the earth once because of sin. This whole ideology attacks the character of God. And I'll tell you what it does. It makes God the reason for men falling into sin. Because if the gap theory is true, and there's this whole former civilization then God, watch this, that means God placed man in a world that had already been corrupted by sin, and he set them up for failure, and then God sweeps in to save the day and save all mankind when he's really the one who caused it all. That's blasphemy. And that's heresy. And that's not the character of God. The reason that I know, the reason that I know a certain false doctrine's wrong when somebody tells it to me, because I know the character of God. Study God. It's important for you to understand who God is and how he operates. I know that's not him because it's contrary to his character. Now, somebody could tell you something about a certain person and you wouldn't believe it for a second. I'm talking about fallible beings. But just simply because you know their character, you know something about it, there's no way they did that. No possible way. Now that's with humans. Think about God. You think about Calvinism. I'll never ever embrace a God who's elected some people for heaven and some people for hell, and there's nothing they can do about it. It's not true. That's not the character of God. I know God. So you study his character. And if it contradicts God's character, I'm the Lord, I change not. That's his character. So then he's not going to change things all down through history. The gap theory is true. This whole form of civilization is God's fault. The fact that he placed us here in sin, it's all his fault. Instead of man being, you know, up against their own sin and they did it to them, so no, God did it all. Listen, this whole premise of the gospel and what makes it so appealing and what makes it so beautiful to me, what makes it so beautiful to you, is mankind got himself in a pickle. Mankind found himself spiritually bankrupt, and God had placed us in a perfect environment and simply gave man a choice. Why? Because he gave us a free will. And love requires a choice, like I said the other day. So he gave us a choice because of our own free will. Otherwise we're Ottomans and God just makes us do everything. That's not how God works. He gave us a free will. He'll do everything in the world to woo you, everything in the world to help you and to try to get you back. But if you want to harden your heart and continue to go your way, he'll let you. People don't understand the character of God once again. And so he placed us in a perfect situation and he gave us a choice. By the way, the choice was heavily favored to encourage man to do right. Think about the choice for a minute. You have everything in this garden. You got it all. And he had a lot of stuff in that garden. But there's one tree. Watch this. All this, everything over here, all of it, over here, one tree. So God heavily favored it to get man to do right. You know what we do? Choose the tree. You know what we always focus on? The one thing we can't have. The one thing we're not supposed to do. We chose to sin. When man sinned, the earth and all creation began to decay, including our own bodies. Man began to gradually die that day physically. Our soul was doomed for a devil's hell, and God sent forth his son, and he sacrificed his own son to save us from the sin and the debauchery that we willingly entered into. That's the true gospel. And this gap theory undermines it at its very core and makes it all God's fault and makes God the criminal and the mastermind behind all this. He's this evil cosmic being who sets up in heaven pulling strings of people and causing problems. Some of y'all soap operas that you watch, it's that same stuff. Causing all the problems and run in to save the day. Oh, that's not the God I serve. See, it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. So when you read the Bible, you start with Genesis 1. There's nothing between 1 and 2 that you don't know about. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And when he created it, the earth was without form and void. Just showing us that God took nothing and made something great out of it. He created this form, void, full of, covered with water, earth. And then made it the beautiful thing it is today. Amen? Let's take some prayer requests real quick. There's so many other things I'd like to cover.